Over a million Hutus fled Rwanda in 1994, when Tutsi rebels gained control of the country. Before that, though, at least half a million Tutsis were slaughtered by Hutu extremists. Commentator Ian Guest says the world community should have learned a lesson about genocide in the late 20th century.
Until recently, this century had only seen two undisputed cases of genocide, the first against the Armenians in 1915, the second against the Jews in the Second World War. But this most terrible of crimes has now occurred twice within the last 5 years, in Bosnia and Rwanda. Genocide was defined and outlawed in a 1948 convention as a direct response to the Holocaust, but governments could not agree to establish an international court to punish those responsible. As a result, genocide remained an abstract concept for the next 45 years, instead of generating powerful political and moral outrage, which might have deterred mass murderers like the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. Bosnia and Rwanda have turned genocide from a legal theory into something terrifyingly real, as well as a major policy challenge. Back in the 1970s, when Amnesty International talked of human rights, they were referring to individual political prisoners. But today, they're more likely to be talking of an assault on an entire ethnic group. This affects us all. The crisis in Zaire arose because the world took no action after the Rwandan genocide in 1994. The Hutu killers sought refuge in Zaire, and the furious Rwandan government has gone after them. We are now paying the price for our failure to intervene earlier. It will cost our governments millions of dollars in relief aid and could even claim the lives of our soldiers. In Bosnia, meanwhile, the carefully constructed US peace effort has been jeopardized by the reluctance of the NATO implementation force to arrest two genocidal Bosnian Serb leaders, Ratko Mladic and Radovan Karadzic. Mishaps like this show why combating genocide must now be an integral part of policy, instead of treating genocide like a distant nightmare. This becomes more difficult even as it becomes more necessary. Unlike the Nazi Holocaust, which was carried out by professionals in isolated camps, the 1994 Rwandan massacres were public spectacles designed to spread responsibility among as many villagers as possible. This genocide was up close and personal, carried out by hundreds of thousands of individuals. Killing on this scale screams out for justice, yet it is physically impossible to punish everyone. Some kind of compromise is clearly needed. But how do you compromise with evil, and how do you physically arrest these killers? The Rwandans and Bosnians are struggling with the answers. Given the enormity of the questions, they should not have to struggle alone. The United Nations has set up two tribunals to punish war crimes and genocide in Bosnia and Rwanda, and together they have issued 96 separate indictments. This provides the teeth that were denied to the Genocide Convention back in 1948. But only one trial is currently underway. Only two African governments have agreed to cooperate with the Rwanda tribunal. Incredibly, it took the United States and Britain over a year to make a formal commitment towards the Yugoslav court. Do we really care? These two tribunals are the backbone of future efforts to contain genocide. They should be given real political support, more money, military escorts, and backed up by the threat of sanctions. Indicted war criminals must be hunted down. Otherwise, future war leaders will again try and get away with murder on an unthinkable scale.
Ian Guest is a senior fellow at the United States Institute of Peace, where he works on issues involving Rwanda and Bosnia. Thank you.